So when I was first visiting with Mark Seeley about accepting the invitation to speak at this symposium, Mark said how pleased he was that it was being organized and that it was appropriate that we took the time to recognize Bill's significant contributions to our community. We got together on a weekly basis for some turf grass studies and real climate observations. So Bill knows Mark quite well. And I thought about that word that the eloquent Swede used, community. What does that mean? What's our community? I'm a hominid on planet Earth. I'm an American. Live in Minnesota. That's not really intimate like community. I've worked at the University of Minnesota for the last 25 years, currently ranked number 9th in the United States, number 26th worldwide by Newsweek magazine and Global Research Impact. I work in the College of Food, Agriculture, and Natural Sciences. Our mission is to produce food, fuel, and fiber in a sustainable fashion that protects the environment. I work in the Department of Soil, Water, and Climate. Just celebrated our centennial 2 years ago, updated our history book. They're on sale at the office. Carl made me say that. But we have 32 faculty, 42 grad students, and almost 60 staff dedicated to the mission of safely producing food and protecting our natural resources, understanding what's happening in these earth processes. I work with a bunch of people who are trying to produce food for the world, protect the environment, and do it in a sustainable fashion. That's our community, and I'm humbled and honored to be part of it. And I, too, am pleased that we took the time today to celebrate Bill's contributions to our community. That being said, it's obvious we're going to give him a little bit of a hard time today. I can't believe he didn't wear a Hawaiian shirt. I'd like a little help from the audience as we move forward. I'm going to make a statement that Bill Koskinen is so old. Oh, good. This audience has had its coffee this morning. Let's get this right. Outstanding. So Bill's so old that his grade school pictures are in black and white. That's a little mean, but yeah, that's Bill there. Oh, cute kid on there, right? So old that when he went camping at the beach in San Diego, he had an A-frame canvas tent. It's just a little bit of a gear snob, I'm sorry. Bill Koskinen is so old. When he was a PFC in the Army, that's what he looked like. Now, nobody's picture in the Army is a good picture, but Bill, that's terrible. Bill was able in the Army to use his intelligence and his aptitude with technology to computerize the inventory of the largest ammo dump in Europe. Ammo dump is where they keep all of the ammunition that the Army uses. The Army had obviously over-budgeted the man hours for this job because Bill had a lot of spare time. He tried to tell me that he helped his landlady put up hay. His beautiful wife, Linda. I still have to vet that story. I'm not sure about all that. I do believe that he did a lot of car camping in Spain and that he frequented the brew pubs in Germany and that he went to Monte Carlo and watched the Grand Prix races. He went to the Cannes Film Festival with his wife and drank wine from a bottle. Thanks for helping us with the American image, Bill. Sorry. And some time for skiing in Garmisch, Germany. Bob Dowdy and John Baker had no chance to control this guy's travel urge. Bill Koskinen is so old. So old that this was the rockin' hairstyle of the 70s when he went back for his master's degree at San Diego State University. And bell-bottom corduroy jeans were in style. I'm sure just the casual lean up there. But Professor Koskinen, after he got his master's degree, took his skills to the Peace Corps and went to Honduras to teach soil science. Chemistry, sorry. which confused me because I thought I was going to win $100 with him in the field. Bill Koskinen in the field. People said they hadn't seen this before. It's true. He does go to the field. And, of course, with advisors like H.H. Chang, Dennis Keeney, Jack Bremer, and Fritz Fuhrer, there were great expectations for Bill in his Ph.D. And I don't think when we were at this point in his career, we realized what those accomplishments were going to be. And I'm going to get a little more serious now and actually talk about what my abstract was, Bill's contributions. Bill's well recognized for his work in robotics. He had a grand vision of doing field research on a large scale. We were going to sample the field multiple times a year, transects and grids, multi-year studies, the full soil profile, 36-inch depths, tens of thousands of samples to determine the actual environmental fate of herbicides applied to the landscape. Bill and Leetta Jarvis created the first herbicide extraction from soils using a commercially available robotic system, and they won, together they won an international award from a robotic symposium for that work. It's hard to get a picture of Leetta. She was a terminally shy and could position herself behind the robot at ease at any time. We didn't just automate herbicide extraction from soils. We automated supercritical fluid extraction from soils. We automated phosphomonoesterase activity in soils for Dr. Sadowski, and a clay preparative step for Dr. Ed Nader. I want to talk a little bit about chromatography. Now we've got these tens of thousands of samples that have been prepared, but we need to do the analysis on them. Chromatography in a general sense is just taking your compound of interest in the mobile phase, whether that's gas or liquid, and passing it through a stationary phase to create a differential partitioning that is then measured at an endpoint detector. And if you do your job right, you get some really nice peaks that look like this. But Bill Koskinen is so old that they didn't have computers to determine the area of a peak when he first started doing this. He had to cut them out and weigh them on a balance. Or he had to use a planometer that recorded the shape, two-dimensional shape's area by tracing it. He also had to pack his own columns. Bill's told the story many times about a 30-foot column hung from the third story of the chemistry building that he packed, vibrated to ensure uniform packing material in use. Little did we know when he was standing here in front of the first mass spectrometer that the department and ARS purchased, that his career would see the passage of the non-specific detectors, flame ionization detector, flame photometric detectors, nitrogen phosphorus detectors, electrical conductivity detectors. We'd be using mass spectrometers, samples that are bombarded by an electron beam, passed into a vacuum, attracted by a magnetic field, measures the impact, derives the compound's molecular structure, and quantifies it. Pretty sophisticated science in a short period of time. Gone from the LC systems with non-specific UV detectors measuring absorption to very specific thermal spray introductions, mass spectrometer measurements, coupling mass spectrometers together to create mass filters, final mass spec, fragmenting the compound of interest into daughter ions for an absolute confirmation of the compound we're looking at. Bill also worked a lot with supercritical fluid extraction, as well known for some of this work as relates to sorption and desorption, one of his fundamental interests. Supercritical carbon dioxide is carbon dioxide pushed to the critical point. It's a gas at standard temperature and pressure. It's dry ice when you get it cold enough. At supercritical point, it has the solvating properties of a liquid and the penetrating properties of a gas. Some of the early research was easy. We just wanted to look at bound age residues, so we cranked the extraction parameters up to max and showed that we could get irreversibly bound residues off. But Bill's work was a little bit more sophisticated. He wanted to look at what's happening in the water matrix around the soil, so we played around the edges of the supercritical state. He was able to show desorption from the soil bed and create numerous isotherms. Of course, we automated this. This was a long extraction procedure. It lended itself well to automation, about an hour long. So let's automate it. You can see here we're loading the sample in. It's a 10,000 stainless steel vessel capable of withstanding 10,000 PSI. We could easily get the sample out, but we couldn't raise and lower the plexiglass safety door. The instrument's fingers were too sensitive and would be damaged. So even though Dexter was on TV, Bill marched down to Dayton's and asked for a mannequin hand, and they gave him one. I was really surprised. That had to be pretty creepy. But we mounted that mannequin hand on the robot, and it raised and lowered the safety door just fine. But Bill said, "I need more cowbell, so let's get it to push the start button." So we had the creepy mannequin hand push the start button, and eventually we even had it wave to people watching.
Did he pick the
nail tool? No, I think it came that way, but there were jokes about who was going to have to do the manicure for it. So Bill's an environmental chemist, someone who studies the natural phenomena that happen in nature. And I said I was going to try to talk comprehensively about the work he did. But even if I had a full day, I couldn't cover everything in robotics, SFE, accelerated solvent extraction, the tens of thousands of samples, incubation samples that he did using radio-labeled herbicides, scintillation counters, oxidizers, various GC and LC systems with numerous endpoint detectors. I think really we could devote a whole day to it and have a lot of fun talking about all the analytical systems that Bill used. But what I really want to say is, back to this community, the idea that the history of science is forged by the accomplishments and recognition of the people whose work came before us. We cite that, we acknowledge it, we use it, we move forward. Bill's contributions will extend forward into the future for a number of years. His grad students, postdocs, and associates are from around the world. But right here in the backyard of his community, 4 years ago, Dr. Rosen asked Keith Piotrowski and I to take over the analytical research laboratories. These laboratories had not served the community very well. We faced a big challenge of turning that around. We've succeeded in having 3 years of financial success. We've moved that money back into the laboratory. Over $500,000 of new analytical equipment's been purchased in the last 3 years. And we're well positioned to continue to serve our community. But we wouldn't have been in place to do that if I hadn't had the tools that I gained from my years of experience working with Bill. His management style is unique, but very effective. And the experience that he gave me, accepting technology, using technology, interpreting the results, modifying your approach, problem solving, have been invaluable in taking over that laboratory and making it a success. So I want to thank Bill for that, and I want to thank you for helping us honor his contributions today.